First scripture that I'd like to refer to is in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, and in chapter 11. Right at the end of the chapter, those three well-known verses. Verse 28, "Come to me, all ye who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, if you could turn with me, please, to the Old Testament, I'd like to read a few verses. Book of Numbers 13 and verse 23. "And they came as far as the valley of Eshcol, and cut down thence a branch with one bunch of grapes, and they bore it before two upon a pole. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs." That place was called the valley of Eshcol, because of the grapes which the children of Israel had cut down there. And they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. And they came and went to Moses and to Aaron and to the whole assembly of the children of Israel to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word to them, to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came to the land to which thou didst send us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Only the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwells in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the side of the Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up boldly and possess it, for we are well able to do it." But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought to the children of Israel an evil report of the land which they had searched out, saying, "The land which we have passed through to search out is a land that eateth up its inhabitants, and all the people that we have seen in it are men of great stature. And there have we seen giants. Sons of Anak are of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were also in their sight." Now a section in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, book of Joshua and chapter 3, starting at verse 1. "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When ye see the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. And ye shall not come near it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore.' And Joshua said to the people, 'Hallow yourselves, for tomorrow Jehovah will do wonders in your midst.' And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and go over before the people.' And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people." Now, finally, in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 11, 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 15. "And 3 of the 30 chiefs went down to the rock to David to the cave of Adullam, when the army of the Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the stronghold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate.' And the 3 broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate, and took it and brought it to David. However, he would not drink it of it, but poured it out to Jehovah. And he said, 'My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives? For at the risk of their lives they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. There are many blessings open to us in the Christian way. And I wanted to speak about some of them tonight. You know, the blessings that God gives to us, we need to go in for them. Even the blessing of our salvation is something we have to lay hold of. Can't just go through this world, as everybody here knows, and hope that you'll get to heaven one day, because you won't. You'll only get to heaven as you come to Christ. I want to speak of some of the blessings today that we find in these scriptures. Although I've read quite a bit of scripture, I just have something simple to say to each of you tonight about these blessings, because I want you to lay hold of them too. There were those in scripture who did. When we come a little later on to Caleb, he was one, a man of a different spirit. He laid hold of the blessings that God provided. The question is, are we today? Or are we just sitting back and expecting blessings just to arrive in our lap? We need the heart for it. And we need to put ourselves out to make sure these blessings are ours. Well, do you know, before I start tonight, I realise that there are quite a lot here tonight that I don't know. And I don't know where you are in your soul experience. And I know the gospel will be preached, God willing, tomorrow on the Lord's Day, at whatever time Adrian has it. And I know you're welcome. But I want you to know that the rest that is spoken of at the beginning of these verses in Matthew 18 is a blessing that you can have today. Yeah, I know it's not Sunday. I know it's not the Lord's Day. But salvation is available to everyone. And if you want to come into the good of anything that I speak about tonight, you've got to come this way. And I would say to you solemnly tonight that if there's anybody here tonight who's never known the blessing of the forgiveness of their sins, I say to you, come now. Scripture supports me in saying that. Because it says now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. And how many times have you listened to the gospel? And these verses that I've read from in Matthew have been read. And the gospel's been preached. Glad tidings of salvation through the name of Jesus. And it starts with these words, come unto me. I know that many in this room tonight have already come to Christ, and I thank God for it. But I say to you that I want to speak to you about these blessings because I want you to come nearer to them. I want you to love Him. I want you to trust Him. And I want you to realize that the blessings that He provides are blessings that are worth having. Sometimes there's sacrifice involved, isn't there, in some of these blessings? Well, how about it? How precious are they to you? Do they outweigh the problems? Of course they do. They're all to be found in Christ, but there's only one way you can come into it, and that's by trusting Him for your salvation. And that's the first line of what we have in this section here. Come to me. They're beautiful words, aren't they? Words which mean so much to those who know Him. But I want to speak to you too of some of the other parts of this scripture. It speaks to us here, all ye who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest. There's no greater burden you can have than the burden of your sins. But I would say this, there's many a burden that's carried at the present time, many a sorrow, many a heart that is going through deep exercise. Perhaps bereavement. Perhaps sadness in families. Perhaps anxiety as to the way things are going in the world. Whatever it may be, everybody carries burdens. I want to tell you, the same person to whom you came in regard to the burden of your sins is prepared to receive you now and to have to do with you in relation to the burden of your heart. That's my Saviour. But he's also my Lord, and he's also my friend. And I trust him for everything. And when we read a little further on in this scripture, what does he say to us? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. And then he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now just a minute. This is the one who invites you to come to him. The one who wants to receive you because he knows your heart. And what he wants to give to you is the rest that only he can provide. And you'll notice in the first part of this scripture that the rest is a rest that he gives. But in the second part, it's the rest that you find. Now the wonder of it is that the rest that he gives can never be taken away. Even if you have doubts and fears, even if you have anxieties in relation to salvation, your feelings don't affect it. They have nothing to do with it at all. It's the work of Christ that stands in all its wonder and its greatness. But there may be things that happen in your life that cause you great anxiety. And they may affect the rest that you find. And I speak feelingly to many tonight that I see here, that I know have gone through or are going through difficult times. And I say to you, there is one in whom you can find rest. But you've got to find it. You've got to put yourself out. It's not something that will just land in your lap. It's something that you find. And you find it because you seek it. You find it because you know where to go to find it. And you go to Christ. And you find where you go that he knows all about it anyway. You go before him and you pour out your heart to him. He knew before you even told him. Before you called, he answered. How precious it is, you know, to have to deal with this one. The blessings that come right down to the practical circumstances in which we are, the knowledge of Christ, our Saviour, and he becomes increasingly precious to our hearts. And that's what I've found in my own experience. I've had one or two precious, but I've found my Saviour. And through it, he has become more precious to my heart than I would ever have known. And I commend him to you. That not only your soul's salvation, but your Christian pathway may be marked by trusting that blessed one. And that if there are things that you're carrying that make you feel very alone, there's one who would draw nigh to you, just as he did to those on the Emmaus road, and make himself known to your soul. Oh, would that you might find rest in Christ. It's a wonderful blessing. And it's something that's open to everybody here today. Well, when I come to my next scripture, I want to speak about the blessings that cause us to rejoice in Christ. I think it's a wonderful thing in a day when there's so much sorrow and bad news that there's something to rejoice in. In fact, no, there's someone to rejoice in. You can rest in Christ, can't you? Well, here you are. Here's one, and you can know what it is to trust him. You can know what it is to rejoice in him. What he wants is that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. That's what he wants. Why would you not want that blessing? That your joy may be full? How many of us know it? Oh, we have moments when we rejoice. Perhaps things happen in our circumstances and cause us to rejoice. But have you known what it is to rejoice in Christ? My joy I give unto you. My joy. It's not just the joy that passes and comes and goes. It's the joy of a man who lives in my heart. And I commend him to you. And I would just like to refer to this scripture today, just to encourage your heart from this illustration. That here they were. They'd come to the borders of the land. Oh, that we might know more of what it is to lay hold of those things that God has prepared in his love for us. Paul speaks to the Corinthians about it, doesn't he? He tells us that there's sweetness to be found in Christ, and that there's treasure to be found in Christ. Would that we might lay hold of it and realize it for ourselves. Because we find that with the people of God here, that they had the evidence of what the land could produce. Think of that great bunch of grapes that they brought, you know. You think how precious it was. Why they had to carry it, two of them, upon a pole between them, on their shoulder, no doubt. What an evidence it was, what a testimony to the blessings that God had in mind for his people. And all they needed to do was to trust him, and they could have gone across into the land, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land that had water brooks, a land with springs, a land with deep waters. All these things were the blessings that God had in mind for his people. And they came back and they displayed them. Maybe they thought as they were carrying them how great they were. But you know, there's no reference in Scripture to the fact that they ever tasted the grape. Not one. They carried them. They brought them back. They were a testimony there to all as to the greatness of God's thoughts. But they never tasted that the Lord was good. We have to lay hold of these things for ourselves. That treasure that was brought back from the land. An evidence of God's goodness to his people. It never gave them the courage to trust God and go into the land. I find that's very sad. There they were. They speak about the grapes. They admit it's flowing. The land is flowing with milk and honey. But all they can see are the enemies of the land. These great persons. These giants that they found. Oh, how occupied we become, don't we, with the problems that stand in the way of us coming into the blessings that God provides. We find all sorts of excuses that stand in the way. And what's needed is a man of another spirit to be able to lay hold of the goodness of God and appreciate it and make it our own. Caleb comes forward. He stills the people. But they still don't go over. Oh, friend, I found it interesting when doing a little bit of research on Caleb that he's the one who dispossessed these giants. These Anakim. He dispossessed them. And the place that he dispossessed was renamed Hebron. And Hebron means company. Oh, that's what these grapes would have represented, wasn't it? You think of that great bunch of grapes. I often think about it and I wonder at it. You get a little bunch of grapes from the supermarket today and it's nothing at all. But you think of this that they carried. It's an evidence of the fruit of the land. What a contrast to the children of Israel who were disagreeing and disputing and discord marking them every step of the way. And yet what unity there would be in that bunch of grapes. An evidence of God's thoughts for his people. Oh, the wonder of it, you know. I marvel at the way in which these illustrations stand up to the light of God's covenant with his people and the day that we're in, the day of grace. Illustrations of the wonder of what he has in his thoughts and blessings for men and blessings for you and me. Well, will we come into the good of it? Will we lay hold of these things for ourselves? Will we be persons of another spirit who enjoy these things that God provides? Well, that's two blessings. I want to speak about another one when I come to the scripture in Joshua. And what I want to speak about here is the reverence. I want to speak about it because it's something that I believe is missing today. We need to have great reverence for the one who is himself God. He is the one who has drawn near to us and provided us with salvation. He is the one who has provided for us every spiritual blessing. But he is also himself Son of God. How great and glorious he is. And now, after 38 years, yes, another 38 years from where we were 2 minutes ago, here they are at the border. 38 years of wasted time. How much time have we wasted? How much time have I? Times when I haven't been occupied with Christ. Times when other things have taken up my attention. Things of this world that appeal for a time but cannot satisfy. And yet, there's a man prepared to bless me who will satisfy my heart, not only for time but for eternity. And how do you compare them? Friend, dear brethren, dear hearers, this man, this great person, is the one who has been able to hold back the power of death. He's able for it, and he met it in all its awfulness. He's the one who knows our hearts, and he knows our wanderings, and he loves us still. I think that's pretty amazing, isn't it? You look back over your own history and you think that God's thoughts towards you for blessing haven't changed a bit. Doesn't hold it against you that you've wandered for 38 years. A good many of us in this room have probably wandered for a lot longer. But what can we say about the grace of God? Turn to the prophet Joel. What do you find there? I will restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten. How amazing that is that God is able to do it. That's something that would be impossible. Oh, but what assurance it gives to our souls that no matter how much we've wandered, no matter how far we've gone, yet the love of God is toward us still, and he still wants us to come into the blessings of the land, to enjoy his great thoughts for us, to come in the into the fullness of what he has ever had in his mind for us. But it needs the reverence of the greatness of the one who has done it all. Let us never lose him. This is the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead one body. This is the one who could speak to the waters and the winds, and they were stilled. This is the one in the type of the Ark of the Covenant, of the Lord of all the earth, that went into the Jordan and the waters rolled back. What mighty power in this Blessed One. You think of him there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to take him with sticks and with swords. And he says, "Whom seek ye?" And they say, "Jesus the Nazarene." And he says, "I am he." And what happened? They fell away backward. They couldn't do anything else. The mighty power that was there. You think of him there upon Calvary's cross. And the declaration by the centurion. Truly this man was Son of God. Oh, the mighty power of Christ that is wrought on your behalf that you might come into blessing. And the question is, do you want these blessings? Will you lay hold of them for yourselves? Will you have them? It's very precious, I think, that before the children of Israel went over, they had to fix their eye on the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah. That was the only way. That's what we need to do too. Fix your eye on the one in whom every grace has been displayed. Fix the one who's going to fill and satisfy your heart throughout eternity. Give him the place that's rightly his in your affections. Don't waste time with the blessings of this world. Receive the blessings that come from heaven. The sight in heaven is glorious. Man in righteousness is there. And now tonight, you can lay hold of these things for yourselves. Because this one, in all his glory and greatness, has met death in all its power. Satan's greatest tool. And the waters have rolled back 20 miles to the city of Adam. You think of that? It wasn't just a mud that the children of Israel went across in. They went over in dry ground. And the feet of the priests that bore the Ark of the Covenant stood firm. Oh, what a need there is in the present day to stand firm in relation to the person of Christ and the things that relate to him. His deity, his perfections, his glories. These things need to be real to our souls in the present day. Not just something that we've assented to since we began our Christian paths. But something that governs us. Something that brings to us a sense of the greatness of who he is. That our hearts may bow in adoration before the one who is delighting to bless us. This is the reverence that is due to this wonderful Saviour, this wonderful person, who tonight is just waiting to bless each one in this room if you'll put yourself out to receive it. Well, the children of Israel went over. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Even after all that wandering, but you think, God took them over. The Ark of the Covenant would still have been with them. Even in those 38 years, you know, when they'd been wandering. You think, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. How precious the Ark would have become to each one of them. There it was, guiding them through the wilderness. You know, God can use the time of our wanderings to teach us how precious Christ is. And he does. And I would just like to appeal to everyone here today to go in for these things. It's a wonderful thing to have your heart filled with Christ. I wish I knew more of it. I know in a day to come that when I'm with him, I shall be truly satisfied, because there will be nothing else to to compete with the glory of who he is. But in the day that we're in, there's all sorts of things. And it involves that we set ourselves to keep our eye on the Ark of the Covenant and the power and the greatness that belongs to him, the one who is able for everything. And I commend him to you, that you might know what it is to rest in him and to rejoice in him and to reverence him, because he's worthy of it. Well, I come to my last scripture, which is the well-known scripture of David and the three mighty men that broke through. This is the response that he's looking for. Will you consider for him? Well, I tell you, the first thing, if you read the scripture carefully, you'll notice, is that they heard him say, "Oh, that one would give me." David longed. What do you know about the longings of divine persons? They long that you should come into blessing. Did you know that? Not just that your sins should be forgiven, but that you should be in the enjoyment of what God has had in his heart for you when he chose you in a past eternity. He wants you to come into the blessings that are in his heart for you today. He's looking for a response from your heart. What will you do? Oh, you read these words, and they affect my heart as I read that David longed, "Oh, that one would give me the drink of the water which is in the well of Bethlehem." And three men were near enough to him to hear him say it. Now, I think that's significant. Sometimes we say, "Oh, I wish someone would tell me or show me or direct me." How near are you to the Lord? Is he able to tell you? He's near enough to tell you, but will you listen? David longed and said. Three men, within earshot, they could hear what he said, and it stirred their heart. Now look, if God is speaking tonight about us coming into the blessings that he has in his heart for us, it's because his longings lay behind him. That's what he's got in his heart for you. He wants to bring you into the goodness of the land. He wants you to taste of the things that are there, not just observe them. He wants you to enjoy them. He wants you to feast upon them. And therefore his heart is yearning for this water, this refreshment. Who will refresh the heart of Christ tonight in this room? Who will resolve to provide something for him that will satisfy his longings? Who will acquire something in our heart of the preciousness of Christ? Something that you can offer up to him? Oh, the sweetness of that blessed one, the sweetness of those grapes. Yea, that branch was cut down that the grapes might be brought to the people of God. His life was cut off so that you might live. This is the one who's appealing to your heart, that out of his longings you might be stirred to set yourself to provide something that will satisfy his heart. And he knows it's going to be at some considerable cost. He knows that. This was at the cost of the risk of their lives. That probably won't be so for you. But it was for these three men. The risk of their lives, and he knew it. Oh, he says, "I'll pour it out to my Father. It's so precious. I'll pour it out that there might be something for my Father's heart. Or you think of heaven rejoicing when this happens in our Christian way. When we break through because we know the longings of Christ. When we're able to reach out to something that is beyond our satisfaction, to His satisfaction. Something that will rejoice His heart. Dear believer, these things are real. But how real are they to each of our souls? I speak to you of my Saviour because I love Him. But His love appeals to us in the Christian way so that we might not only know the blessing of salvation, but we might know something of the blessings that God is prepared to bestow upon you even in this day. And what need there is. There are many sorrows. There are many anxieties. And the trend of this world we all know. But there's a world above. And Christ is there at the center of it. And I commend these words to you that they might stir your affections towards that blessed one. Words of Jesus on the way to Emmaus. Oh, what a gospel that must have been. What a word. But then when they saw him, that made all the difference. I would just love that each one may have a fresh sight of this glorious person tonight. And that he might become, by the Spirit, a lever in your soul to cause you to reach out to those things that are precious and make them your own and then live by them. And the power of the Spirit has been given. That we might not be constantly disappointed with ourselves because we discover that we cannot do it, but rather that we have a resource that indwells our hearts, that gives us the power to go in for these things. And may it all be for the pleasure of God and for His glory. Well, may it be so for His name's sake. Amen.